Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Morning, pal, morning. What's keeping you this morning? You sound like you've got a busy household today.
No, just, you know, we started a little bit late. If you've got 5 minutes to yourself, you seem to have 5 minutes to yourself. It's like, I'm lingering. Can you look after him for a sec while I just do this? And make a coffee, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to be here. I would be there.
Yeah, I know, but I'm too honest. I could just go into my room and go, recording, not here. But, you know, too honest.
That's what I'm going to do. I think I might get one of those little red signs that say on air. What was it say? On air, that's it. Gone live. Yeah, that's not the right phrase.
No, let's get two neon signs that says gone live. Wim live. Well, I'll have Wim live.
Wim live, that's us.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. You can have it outside the room then, so people.
And you just turn it on. Well, no, you don't want it outside the room. You want it sort of in a communal area where everyone is, like in the kitchen or something, just so they know to get the voice down.
Keep your voices down and stay off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, turn all the stop. Why are you watching this morning? You can't watch this morning.
Watch these things. Don't be on Netflix while I'm trying to record a national radio show.
Stop streaming. I need the Wi-Fi. I need the bandwidth, or whatever it is.
I need the strength.
Did you see that somebody on Twitter pulled us up on Cache? No. Apparently it's just Cache.
Yeah, I saw that, actually. I ignored it.
But then I saw several programs this week, weirdly, where they mentioned it, and they all said Cache. So I'm sure it is meant to be Cache rather than Cache. But,
well, I had this yesterday when I was... I was hosting Have I Got News For You, and there was a whole discussion, which we'll talk about later on in the show, but there was a whole discussion on whether it's, I say, you know the cheese Gouda?
Yeah, Gouda.
Yeah, so it was like a 50-50 split, Gouda or Gouda.
Oh, I'd say Gouda, I think.
Yeah, I just say Gouda, but it was quite the split.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure somebody on X, Twitter, will tell us the correct
way to say it. Oh, they will. They will. And when I say it on telly tonight, my goodness.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? It's Dutch. Is it a Dutch cheese? Dutch cheese, isn't it? Gouda, is it?
Gouda, yeah. I mean, it does sound more foreign when you say Gouda.
Yeah. It sounds a bit like chowder, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what else did I get picked up on? Oh, I said mutton at one point, and Paul Merton did not understand what I was saying.
Oh, what did he think?
I don't know. He was going, what? I was going, mutton.
Did he not say mutton?
What's that? I went, you mean mutton. It was one of them moments where... It's not that different, though, is it?
It's mutton. Quite an odd one to sound wrong, isn't it? Mutton.
Mutton.
Mutton. I suppose you've got no T's in it at all. Maybe he's getting the point.
Maybe that's where I've gone wrong. That show is on the iPlayer now, so you can have a little watch of it. Went out on Friday. I'll be interested to know what you thought of it. It was a lot of fun to do. I had a gig last Sunday, it was in London.
Yeah, in London.
In London. It's a great cash impression. Hey, I sat next to him the other night.
Yeah. Did he say, "Tell Steve his impression of me is getting no better"?
I think they're all getting together. There's somewhere, there's it's a like shed Soho somewhere. House.
It's a shed. I think it's a shed. Yeah. It's got Ken Bruce, Josh Widdicombe, Craig Cash,
Jeremy Vine.
I mean, he's doing me now.
You know who I want you to learn? Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to learn Donald Trump. Because I was watching some clips of him yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about Hannibal Lecter randomly. He was talking about Hannibal Lecter this week.
Why?
he is like a comic who doesn't know he's a comic.
Yeah, like, no, he definitely is, yeah.
He was just saying, Hannibal Lecter, great guy. The late great Hannibal Lecter. it's not a real person. Yeah, it was mental. But yeah, he was basically going off on one about... he said, "Well, I'll have a friend over for dinner." He said it about three times to really label it. But that is the impression that I have got to a point now where I watch Donald Trump being Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it sounds like even he's doing an impression of Donald Trump.
Of Donald Trump, yeah.
China. Because of China, the wall. I've heard so many people do it, but I still find still find impressions pretty amazing. It's like alchemy to me. Still can't do any of them. What was I talking about? I felt like I was talking about something then. I was talking about my gig last week.
That was
2 minutes ago.
So
I did a gig last Sunday, and I was on, it was a Lucy Jones gig, who's a brilliant West End star, and I was on with Alfie Bow and Sam Ryder.
Right. Oh, right. That's quite singing. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't a stand-up
very singing. No, it, well, it wasn't a stand-up gig, of course.
I'd like to see Sam Ryder's type 10, because he's very likable. So I think he'd get away with it.
He'd be a great stand-up. He'd be a great stand-up, actually, because he's so jolly. He'd be like, he'd be like Adam Hills, like,
you'd be wanting it. You'd be willing for him to, even if it was rubbish, you'd be still be laughing along. Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah. Nice. Do you know what? Even backstage, he's so full of joy that you just get swept along in his sort of aura. He's one of those people.
Nice. I like
that. And he does a fist bump, and he doesn't make you feel like an old man when he does it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes when younger people do fist bumps, you're a bit like, and you go to shake it or something. He's a fist bump guy, but he makes you feel cool.
The other day, I was so tired. I was in a soft play, and somebody went to shake my hand, and just with my one little finger, like ET, I just went boop in the middle of their palm. I don't know why I did it. I didn't know them that well.
No.
So it didn't feel like a handshake thing.
Post-COVID,
I just put
though.
My hand up. I put the wrong hand up. Put my left hand up, and I just went.
Oh yeah.
Boop, and just poked in the middle of their palm. Just,
they're probably telling the same story.
I know.
He's
good.
Weird. He's weird, isn't he? How's that?
Like ET.
But it was a great gig, and she's fantastic. Lucy Jones, she's a brilliant, brilliant performer. Alfie obviously knows his stuff, and I did my bit. But guess what happened?
What?
The sound desk went down.
Oh, no.
And I'm sat out the front watching the show, watching them all be brilliant, and the sound desk goes down, and all music all stops, and we're all a bit like, everyone's a bit like, oh. And then Lucy goes, if only we had a stand-up comedian here. And I was sat in the audience. I was like, well, I'm
like
not,
a doctor
I'm
in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit like that, yeah.
Everybody like shiftily looking around.
Yeah, and I was like, oh. But I sat there, I thought, I'm not going to, she doesn't mean that. And then she said it a second time. I was like, it's weird that she said that again. Then the third time, she was like, is Jason Manford, or I could see a slight panic in her eye.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. So, and then just went and did, yeah, just went and did some a cappella stand-up, essentially.
Nice. What were you shouting? Was the
well,
mic
it was
working?
Like I had a sort of a house mic, really, in the end.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It was fine, but pulling jokes out of my backside that I was just thinking I've not done a gig for ages.
Yeah, just what have I got here that links with this sound musicals?
And also to an audience who are not a stand-up comedy audience, so they've not come for stand-up, so you can't be too like. Not that I'm edgy, obviously. I'm not becoming
edgy.
Yeah,
but you can't be harsh on them for not getting the joke. Come on, it's route one. What's wrong with you people?
Exactly. And then, did like 20 minutes. But what I still find amazing about doing stand-up, and I've sort of become to accept it now, because for so many years, I've always underplayed it, like because it's the British way, isn't it? And a northern way, a working class way as well, to be a bit like, oh, what I do is not important or special or whatever, you know what I mean? But honestly, on that day, I felt like some sort of wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was doing...
fix this.
Yeah, because they were fixing all getting on with all the stuff at the back, but actually to be able to talk to an audience for 20 minutes and have them laughing and having a bit of fun with people afterwards, people were looking at me like, how did that? And these are trained professionals. These are like actual like performers.
But it takes the pressure off everybody, doesn't it? The guy trying to fix the sound desk, he was fine. Be all right. He's got enough time.
At one point, I looked back and he was watching. I was like, no.
Get your screwdriver out now.
You get fixing that desk, son. Fix that desk. But no, it was a great show. And then the evening show we did, and that all went swimmingly. And then again, we finished with me, Lucy, Alfie and Sam Ryder, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, wow.
The four of us. Yeah, that was... I was like, can I sing first? I don't want to. I'm not following these lot.
Yeah, which you've got to choose a bit, haven't you, as well? Like, you want to. There's deep bits and there's high bits, isn't there? And there's normalish bits.
Yeah, I mean, I know I can sing a bit, but when you're on stage with people like that, you feel like. You look like you've won a competition.
I feel like Sam Ryder was full Galileo, wasn't he?
Galileo. Oh, he was full.
He would have been there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's right up there. I don't know how he gets so high. He's incredible. But. That was a great gig.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
You were very missed on Wednesday night, Steve.
Oh, yeah, you went to the Fawlty Towers, didn't you?
Fawlty Towers, the play. Yeah. That's where I was.
Oh, it's not a musical, it's just a play.
No, it's not a musical, it's just a play. It's okay. Just, yeah, it's, well, it's...
Is it a new story, or is it like the best of?
Yeah, it's like three episodes cobbled together.
Oh, okay.
But in a really good way. I feel that sounds like I was being disparaging, but it's not, actually. It's...
People want to see the greatest hits, don't they?
Do you know what? It is very funny, actually. Yeah. Really funny. And I went in a... If I'm honest, I went with a... okay, let's like, you know, dig in here. Yeah. And but I was really laughing. And the cast are absolutely brilliant. And they're not sort of doing impressions, but they've just got... They've got the sense of it. I'm really bad with names. So the fella playing Basil is spot on. Anna-Jane Casey, who plays Sybil, is great. And even the woman playing Polly's got that. She's even managed to get that weird accent she had. You know, she sort of had that sort of mid-Atlantic.
American, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I did wonder what they were going to do with Manuel, because I thought in these modern times,
yeah,
would you be able to just have a go at the silly foreigner? You know, but
yeah.
What do they do? John Cleese's 84. He's obviously gone.
I mean, you can't, but that's
not changing
that
it now.
That was his purpose, unfortunately, wasn't it? So you can't really, there's not much you can do. You can't make, what can you do? That's the whole point. It's misunderstanding, isn't it? It's fast. Yeah. That's, you know.
It's, yeah, and also, I think what's great with that as well is that he's so endearing, Manuel, as well. He's such a, I think the fact he's played by a Spaniard helps this time.
Yeah, that'll help, yeah.
that makes it a little less awkward. But no, it's brilliant. And Paul Nicholas, you know, the classic Paul Nicholas.
Oh, Paul Nicholas, yeah.
Yeah, sitcom legend. He plays
and
the major.
And Jesus Christ Superstar. He was Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. He's brilliant as the major. But they're all good. They're all just, you know, it's a massive cast because there's loads of hotel guests. You've got the hotel inspectors, you've got the Germans.
Yeah, I imagine that one being there. Yeah, someone.
Don't mention the war. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But do you know what was great was I was watching it in a sort of, like I said, I thought, oh, this will be really specific. You know when we went to see Only Fools and Horses, which was always also good, but I was sat next to a couple of Americans who were just going, I don't really get.
Yeah, you have to have a little knowledge of it, don't you, for it to work.
Weirdly, with Fawlty Towers, you don't.
Yeah. No, I suppose it's just, you know, because if they...
It just works, yeah, in a sort of... Even in like a post-Brexit. There's only 12,
isn't there? You know, there's only 12 of them, isn't there? Fools and Horses ran for years, didn't it? So you've got so much to come from and, you know.
Yeah, no, this is just... It's very funny and it's just a farce. It probably works. I had a very brief chat with John Cleese afterwards and he said, actually, I feel like it works better as a play because it is a farce, you know, than TV. There's restrictions on certain things you can do and can't do.
With sight lines and stuff like that, isn't it? Where you can, on TV, you can get around, but you don't want to because for a farce, you want somebody seen to be hiding in a cupboard, don't you, or whatever.
That's right, yeah. But it's, it's very funny. So I do recommend that. And even there was I think Vanessa Feltz was on the same row as me and she had a grandson with her who was only about 8. He was crying laughing. Absolutely crying, laughing at it. So it looked like it was certainly one for all the family. Adam Jackson Smith, that's who plays Basil. And Victoria Fox plays Polly. But spot on that. That's on in London's dazzling West End right now. What have you been up to, Steve? Anything exciting? How's the shed coming on?
The shed is coming on nicely. But I did that rookie error. I was trying to get the, you know, the felting on the roof. And I got half of it. It's all right, but you have to be up on the roof. I got like 2 of the 4 on. I thought, I'll do the rest tomorrow. And then the next day, it was Wednesday, whatever day it was, it just battered it down with rain. Do you remember? There was one day this week. I was just watching it drip through the ceiling thinking, I had another hour last night to finish that. But, you know, that's the ups and downs of a shed builder.
It's getting there.
Shed head.
Do me shedding.
Yeah, that's what I call it, do me shedding.
Do me shedding, that's good, I like that. Nearly there though, you'll be all right. I haven't done anything around the house this week. I'm still trying to, trying to write my tour. That's all I've been trying to do.
Find the time, innit?
Well, it is trying to write the time, but there is going to be a point in the next, I'd say, week to 10 days where I'm not going to snap, obviously, but I am going to say, hey guys, do you like all your stuff? You know, all these things. You like this house and your holidays and, you know, all your clothes and stuff. Yeah, do you know what pays for that? me in that room writing jokes.
It sounds a little bit like you've already snapped.
I've snapped. No, but do you ever do that? This happens in marriages all over the world, I think, where you have a full conversation internally.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you've not had it.
So, no, I'm not having it out loud.
But you feel like you've had it. So now you're a bit calmer because I'm glad I've got that at my system.
I actually feel better. I also think it's a bit like a fire drill. It's a bit like, if this conversation does happen, I'll be fully prepared because I've had the conversation already.
I know where all the exits are. I know, if it's in the middle of the night, I know where, I just need to know where the fire exit is.
I've worked out exactly what's going on. So, that's what I've been up to. No shed action, unfortunately. But again, not to go on about the weather and be British, but it has been, it's been all over the place, hasn't it?
Yeah, but when it's been nice,
can't make its mind up, Steve.
But when it's been nice, it's been lovely, isn't it?
Oh, glorious.
Everybody changes. Everybody's happier. I mean, I know it's an obvious thing to say, but you do go, how are people cross in like Spain with anything?
I know.
And they get a nap thrown in, some of them. You know what I mean?
Mid-afternoon siesta,
It's a dream life, isn't it? It's too hot, I'm going to have a nap. Or a lie down or watch a bit of Netflix for 2 hours and I'll open the shop again later.
Oh,
that's the life, and you can see why they bargain Brits abroad while they all go over there, can't you?
Makes sense, Jason
Manford, Absolute Radio, where real music matters.
It was all right, wasn't it? Have I got news for you? I think it's a good show. I think it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I always watch it. I don't watch it. I used to, but no.
I used to watch it every week.
I sort of watch it now and again just to dip my toe in what's going on in politics and stuff, because I don't really, you know what I mean? I can't follow all that. You know?
Well, I'm the same. I don't know the ins and outs of it. And that, what was one of my worries about hosting it, it's on iPlayer now, by the way, if you've not managed to see it, because whilst I feel political at times about the things I care about, I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't really know what everyone's job is. I don't know who's the
secretary
of what.
But also, it's BBC, so you've got to be impartial anyway, haven't you? You can't.
I know.
Marauding in with your firebrand left-wing views.
You know me, mate, yeah. Even Jeremy Corbyn says, calm down, Jace.
Calm down, mate. Just go a little bit. Right, a little bit. Come on.
Join us over here in the middle.
Yeah.
You do have to keep it. That is hard, actually, especially as host, because we had Jess Phillips on, who's obviously a Labour MP, who's great. Mm. She's good value. And Absolute Radio owns Glenn Moore as well, making his Have I Got News For You debut. I'm sure he chatted about it on Friday on The Breakfast Show. He did really well as well. Had a smasher. But it's quite hard, that impartiality, because you do have to do jokes about everybody. But unfortunately, what people miss when they talk about impartiality is, it's not necessarily you having a go at the Tories, say. Mm. You're having a go at people in power.
Yeah. Yeah, they are the ones in power, aren't they?
That's where it falls down. And you'll see when Labour come in power, which I presume is going to happen later on this year, when that happens, you don't, as a comic, certainly as a comic and as a people who are commenting on the news, you don't stop criticising and finding holes and finding jokes you're having a go at the people in power. So that's the thing that's always bothered me about the impartiality thing. Oh, well, if you do something about that, you've got to do something about that. No, you do something about that because they're the ones in power.
It's the punching down argument, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. So even on the night, I was trying to do jokes about Angela Rayner and a house. They're not that funny because it's just not, you know what I mean? She's like, I don't know. It was hard anyway. I sort of had to just lean into Keir Starmer being a bit boring. Is he?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, and as Paul Merton
pointed out, keep it vague as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really. If they asked you something specific about what do you think of this politician, you just go, well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. You know what they're like? They're all,
that's the other thing. I mean, there was one point where they were talking about the politician who, Elphick, who went from Tory to Labour.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, and obviously Jess Phillips was not happy about that, and she commented about it publicly. But and then Ian was like, just throwing, who else would you like to come over to the left? Just saying names that I'd never, what about, Jonathan Brigsome? I was like,
yeah, and you're going, I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah. Oh, God,
not in my lifetime. I never.
You know, what about Freddie Nuremberg?
Do you know what, guys? Nothing would surprise me in politics. What's his name? Did the, what you just said. If he did whatever you said he did, wouldn't do. That wouldn't surprise me.
Am I right, Jess?
At
one point, I went to make a joke. That I thought, oh, this will be a good joke. Because they were sort of saying, oh, at the moment, you know, the gag was essentially Keir Starmer will accept anybody, you know, as long as he wins, you know what I mean? And and then I sort of thought, oh, I was trying to think of the most like firebrand, right-wing, sort of racist, offensive politician. So I went, I was like, oh, yeah, Oswald Mosley, come on over. You can come over and be a Labour politician. Chess was like, he was a Labour politician. I was like, what?
Was he? No, he was. That's the joke. Oh, forget it.
I'm lost on you lot.
Enoch Powell, where was he from? Oh.
It was fun to do. I must say, I did enjoy it. And when we went away from the politics, it was a bit more. I enjoyed that a bit more.
Safer ground, aren't you? So, you know, they say they never discuss politics and religion at a dinner table. Yeah. I know you're at a dinner table, but still, there's a reason.
But no, it was good fun. If you've not managed to see it yet, it's on the iPlayer. And also, you know, for me personally, it was just like a real bucket list thing to do. You know, a show that's been on since I was 9 years old, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
To get to host it just felt like a real privilege. So I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks for all your lovely messages on Friday night.
Questions for Steve.
So I've had this one come through this morning. It says, hi, Jace. Has the famous time riddle appeared on the TV game show last week?
Time.
Did you see this online?
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what the original riddle was now. I can't remember.
It was the coffin one, wasn't it? The one who makes it. He doesn't use it.
That's right. The one who buys it.
The one who buys it doesn't know he's got it. And all that.
Yeah, that's right.
My horse is my favourite one. Hands. That's a horse one.
So as the famous time riddle, infamous on this show, you'll have to go back through the podcast to find it, riddle appeared on the TV game show last week. I thought it was time Steve had another riddle to test him. Oh, okay. Well, so here's a couple for you.
Oh, no, really? Why is this always me?
It's always me. Balotelli, here we go. What five-letter word typed in all capital letters can be read the same upside down?
Hang on. What five-letter word written in capital letters can... So it's a five-letter word and it's the same word upside down? Or is it a different word?
No, it's the same word as it is upside down.
Okay. So it starts with a W and ends with an M, maybe.
There is a W and an M in it.
Yeah, because they would be the same upside down, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think you're going to work this out, I think.
S would be the same both ways, wouldn't it?
There you go, yeah. And then what other type of letter are you missing? There you go.
Swims!
Is it swims? Look at that. Yes, mate.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant! I mean, I've got a keyboard in front of me, so I was looking at the letters. Swims. Oh, very that's good. Don't give me another one because I've just smashed that one.
Hey, you did
this
that
is like in... when you're walking across a park and a football comes near you from a load of lads, and you flip it up, kick it on the side, and volley it back, and you think, "Don't kick it to me again." That was an absolute fluke. Next time, I'll kick it and hit me in the face.
Well, I do actually have another one for you, Steve.
Is it about a keyboard? Because I've got a keyboard in front of me.
No, but this is from Michelle. She says, take me out of a window and I leave a grieving wife, but stick me in a door and I can save somebody's life. What am I?
Take me out of a window and I leave a grieving wife, did you say?
That's right.
Take me out of a window. I leave a grieving wife,
but stick me in a door and I can save somebody's life.
Take me out of a window, a grieving widow. That's widow, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're living in the N, are we?
Mm-hmm. But stick me in a door and I can save someone's life.
Stick me in a door?
Yeah.
Donut?
Donut!
Door, save someone's life.
Have you not got it?
I don't know. What is it?
You You're so close.
I know I am, but I can't picture the second word.
Why have you said donut?
I'm going to breakfast.
Why have you just said donut?
Yeah, just for a laugh.
But you're so close.
Stick me in a door. The letter N.
Yeah. It's the same rule that you've just done with window and widow.
No, yeah, but I can't think about do nor. I can't.
Yeah.
Think of...
Try and pronounce it correctly.
Donor.
Donor.
Oh, there you go. I liked it better my way. I think donut's better. I think you can save some. You know, if you're having some sort of diabetic fit, I think a donut would help.
He's a blood donor.
Well, let's see. Well, there you go.
Donor.
I was thinking of something in the door, like a frame, that like, would stop someone hurting themselves in a door frame. That's why.
No, you're
save
overthinking
someone's
it.
Look, life.
I genuinely thought you were going to get the when you said N. I was like, oh my god, he's a genius.
No, I know, but I couldn't. It didn't seem because it's not because it's door, isn't it? It's not door, you know. So the N didn't. I couldn't see how the N went in. I didn't know it went directly in the middle either. I was trying to. You know, but it couldn't go after the D, it couldn't go before.
Mate, you got it. You got them both. You did that very well, actually.
I'm happier with swims. If I'm honest, I'm happier with the performance on swims.
Yeah, I think you should be, yeah. I'll edit the donor one out.
But in future, anything that's in front of me, so like dartboards, keyboards, I've got tape measure and a couple of batteries. That's what I can see. So anything that revolves around them, that would be ideal.
Well, I'm going to add a caveat to say, any riddle about anything, fire this way. And you can email me, Jason, at Absolute Radio. Yeah, but I'm really good at them, so it wouldn't be as funny.
Well, I mean, I've just proved I'm really good at them there, so now it's time for you to follow his sword.
Email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Hey, what did you think of the City Spurs situation? I meant to ring you on the night to find out.
What happened? I mean, I know you had to win.
So the situation was this.
Yeah.
If Tottenham would have beat us or even drawn with us, then Arsenal would have still been in with a proper chance and they would have been in the driving seat, in fact, because of goal difference, to win the title. And Tottenham would have been in a chance to get Champions League football next year. Yeah. If we win, which we did, it meant we're basically, points clear. We only have to beat
West Ham.
If we don't beat West Ham and Arsenal win, then yeah, they can still win it.
Okay. But not a big goal difference thing. Not the same points or anything.
There's three goals in it. I mean, what would have been better, and I'm only from a City point of view, from a footballing point of view, is if there was a couple of goals less from Arsenal or more from City during the season, how good would this have been? Similar goal difference, exact same points. So it would have just been the last game of the season, just like free
whoever
for all.
Scores the most wins.
Yeah, fly goalie.
That would be great.
Just like going for it.
Great way to end a season.
Great end of the season that would have been. So, but you never know. We've done it. I mean, we do make it difficult sometimes. So we'll see what happens on later on today. But I was interested to know from you, from a Wolves point of view, right? So if you're in that same situation, you've got no chance of winning the league yourselves on this schedule. But let's say West Brom could actually win the league or get European football or whatever it is. But for that to have happened...
It's a bit of a flight of fantasy. I'm really struggling with all of this. I mean, you lost me at win the league. And then you said to talk about going to Europe, not West Brom in Europe.
Okay, let me try. All right, let's say it's the championship. It's the championship, right. So.
Yeah, now it makes a bit more sense, yeah.
Okay, so...
So I think they're like West fourth Brom, or fifth or something, right. Yeah.
West Brom could win the championship, right?
Yeah.
But
Esther have gone away with it.
Yeah, you're letting facts get in the way here.
I'm sorry. Right. It's hard, isn't it?
Put all that to one side, right?
Can you not use real teams? Can you just...
No, it has to be real teams. Wolves Wolves have to lose the game.
Yeah.
And that means West Brom also don't get to win the championship. Would you want that to happen? Or would you still want Wolves to win?
I'd still want
Wolves
to win.
Even if it meant West Brom winning the league.
Oh, I don't care. I care about my team more than I care about hating another team. I don't really hate any team. So, I'm just care about my own team.
See, that's how I feel as well.
I haven't got the time to be, you know, worrying about what West Brom are doing and stuff. Fair play to them. They're all from the same part of the world, aren't we? I don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to beat them when we play them, obviously. But you want to beat anybody, don't you, for your team? But
You didn't see it on Tuesday.
But this is Arsenal and Spurs, isn't it? So this is,
Would you say that's a bigger rivalry than?
No, I don't. Considering the last game, last time we played them, the game was suspended for 40 minutes because there was a pitch invasion and the police had to be called. And I'd say it's quite high up in the derby hatred status.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just thought it was very odd. You know, I can sort of see why you wouldn't want them to win. And I'd probably feel the same maybe with... But then I don't want anyone to win anything other than City. So I don't think I would... It was weird. They were, at one point, they were literally doing the Poznan, the Spurs fans, even though they were getting beat.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, isn't it?
It was odd, wasn't it?
But I suppose, that's a weird. It's weird, isn't it, football? It's funny, isn't it?
Their manager was fuming.
I bet.
He was like, I can't believe how fragile everybody is. Can't believe it. Like, what, you just found out that English soccer fans are fickle?
Yeah.
Sure. You mean the one where we slag off a player all year and then when he plays for England, he's our hero?
That guy.
Yeah. You mean that guy? You mean us?
Guys. Those guys are great, yeah. there's a patio chair coming off a piazza somewhere abroad. Get your head down.
Yeah, very odd situation. But we're going to today, big game today, so very exciting. As hopefully City, go on, win the league for a fourth time. New story here, Steve. A woman who loves Marylebone Station so much has legally changed her name. To include it.
What's her new name?
She's called Rahina Marylebone Khawaja.
Wow, that's a name, isn't it?
Yeah, she's a Chiltern...
Is it Marylebone or Marylebone? Some people say Marylebone.
It is a weird word, isn't it?
It's a weird spelling, isn't it?
You don't get Y and L together a lot.
It's the one that throws Americans, isn't it? It's like anything like
Marylebone?
Marylebone?
Marylebone.
It throws them, doesn't it?
But, I just say, I think, if I'm honest, Steve, I just say it quick.
What did you say? Marylebone.
Marylebone. Marylebone. I think I'd say bone, though.
But rather than bun, yeah. Yeah, Marylebone. Marylebone. Yeah, I think it's Marylebone.
Not Marylebone.
Marylebone bone.
Well, anyway, she's a Chiltern Railways employee.
Say it quick. Yeah, just exactly. Oh, she works for the railways.
Yeah, she works for them, yeah. Who decided to add a dash of station flair to her own name. Starting a career in the ticket office, working her way to safeguarding and security manager. Rahina's journey with Chiltern Railways has been nothing short of spectacular, but it's her love for Marylebone Station that truly shines through. She said, I didn't just want to work at Marylebone Station, I wanted to become it.
Wow, she certainly achieved that.
That she has. There's something about the soul of this place that drew me to it. It's like a home away from home, warm, welcoming, and full of history.
It is full of history. It's a nice station.
It is.
Whatever that station is called. It is a nice station. It's not one of the ones. It's weird because it's not, obviously, if you're coming down from Manchester, you always go to Euston, don't you? And if you're going up towards the East Coast, Sheffield and stuff, and, you know, Scotland, Leicester, and Newcastle, you go on the King's Cross, St Pancras bit, don't you? So it's not one that. Where do you... Chiltern, isn't it? So it's probably coming in from the west somewhere, is it?
If you land in there.
Yeah, I think Gerrard's Cross and places like that go into...
Is there any of your previous jobs that if you'd have loved it so much, you could have popped a name in there? Or any jobs you've had, any even acting gigs or old jobs that you had?
No, because you don't want to get typecast, do you?
Steve Happy Valley.
You don't want that in your name, do you? Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? So... No.
What about your old jobs?
Colquick. Worked for Colquick for a bit when I was about 16. Remember the printing place?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
The guy who, it was in Warsaw, the guy who ran it was called Tony Bennett. And he never thought it was weird that he was called Tony Bennett.
Funny he time, never mentioned it?
He never mentioned it. When I think back, and his wife used to sort of smoke those black cigarettes, but in the shop. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it really dates it when you... think about it. There was a girl who worked there, and she was a you know, like in the boxing, she was a ring girl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Lisa Musson, I think she was called. But she was you know, he's 16, and she's like a, you know, proper model. You were like, oh my! And you got Tony Bennett there smoking a black fags.
How weird!
Weird times.
It is.
I'd have that as my middle name.
What? Tony
Steve
Bennett.
Called Quick Edge. Tony Bennett.
There you go. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away. It's that time again, Steve, where we read through the best facts sent to us by our listeners this week.
Yeah, we get hit with the best facts, don't we?
Hit us. They absolutely throw them right at us.
Yeah.
If you want to win this week, what do people need to do, Steve, with their facts?
Tantalise us. Tease me until I lose control. That's what we're after, aren't we? Really?
Yeah. Exactly. Words to that effect.
Not my words. But who sang that? I don't even know who sang that. No idea.
Shaggy? I don't know. No idea. Okay, maybe it'll be a fact next week. Right, I'll rattle through some of the best ones. Here we are. Dan Russell throws this one at us. Did you know mules can't reproduce because of their odd number of chromosomes? To make more mules, you need to breed a horse and a donkey.
Really?
Yeah, so a horse and a horse equals a horse. A donkey and a donkey equals a donkey. But a horse and a donkey equals a mule.
Ooh, that's what a mule is it? I didn't know that.
I feel like I did know that, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those weird facts. Marta. But saying that, before we get onto Marta's one.
Yeah.
What's the horse doing there? That feels like, when you look at who's doing who here, what's going on?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't feel...
Feels like a power imbalance.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the donkeys are fun, aren't they? They're just sort of like happy little things, aren't they?
Just at the beach, aren't they, having a laugh? They don't want to be...
Black Beauty comes over there. Oh, hello. I'm just going to go and have an ice cream on Blackpool Beach. Not tonight, you're not. It's just all a bit weird, isn't it?
Come here.
No, I know. No, I'm not comfortable with that. I think mules should be cancelled.
It's not the mule's fault,
so you can't cancel.
No,
the mules.
They're a victim of a weird relationship.
Yeah, and you can't cancel the horses because it's not all horses, is it?
It's not all horses. But there is definitely something's gone wrong there. That if a horse is finding a donkey attractive, I just think it's.
Yeah, they have got lovely eyelashes though.
Yeah, there is that. And they have a right laugh and they're laid back. Maybe after you've spent so much time with uptight horses, actually just a bit of a...
Yeah, do you know what? Who are we to make the... Who are we to judge? We don't know what goes on. It's not our world, is it? When you watch one of those David Attenborough things and you see like something really cute and then some mad thing comes in and eats it. You go, oh, don't eat the little seal. But, you know, that's not our world, is it? You know, it's...
You can't help who you love, Steve.
No, you can't. You can't help who you fall in love with. You can't.
Do you know what I mean? So who are we to judge? Yeah, you're right.
I'm not judging.
No.
But take everything we just said back. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters. Marta messages us. She says, before he became president, Abraham Lincoln was an elite wrestling champion.
Was he?
In 300 matches, he only lost one.
It's wrestling, isn't it? No one's really sure what the rules.
Yeah, I imagine then it was probably real.
Do you think he wore the hat when he was wrestling?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I do as well. And I think I think at the point in the fight when he was losing, if somebody knocked his hat off, that's the bit he'd get the extra bit of power and pin him down.
He's like the Undertaker.
Yeah, or Kendo Nagasaki. They always try to take his mask off.
Yeah,
that'd
there
be
you
the
go.
Same with a hat. As soon as that hat comes off, you've done it now.
You took
Abe's hat off. He's gonna slam you now. Yeah. Maybe that's what happened.
There was definitely a golden time of wrestling. I don't think it was Abraham Lincoln's era, but maybe it was because I was a kid. But when I mean, I've not watched it for years. But when I was a kid, we used to get a video VHS of WrestleMania for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think...
Oh, my gosh, I loved it.
I think people who are into it... I know somebody who's in his 30s now, and he loved it when he was a kid, and he's still like, oh, if you know what's happening, I must WrestleMania 28. And I'm like, what? No, of course I don't.
Because I'm a grown-up,
Yeah, but, you know...
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, all that Hulk Hogan, all
Jake
that,
the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
It was the Bushwhackers.
It was the one with the two before on his shoulder, a little bit of wood.
Yes, I know who you mean.
Yeah, Randy Savage, have I made that name up?
No, that's the one I just said.
he was the blonde one, was he?
Yeah. Who's the one with the four-back? I know what you mean, who had like a...
He was like a hillbilly and he had it over his shoulder. And I mean, surely that's not allowed to start smashing people.
What,
a
piece of wood?
If you're allowed to... You know, and he's even specified the size of it in, you know, in imperial measurements.
Yeah, who was that now? Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's him, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He didn't have a saw as well, did he?
Mate, Jake the Snake Roberts had a snake.
That's not fair.
That's not fair.
No.
It's gone mad. Yeah. Well, no, it was mad. It's not
no,
gone
it was
mad.
It's gone less mad now. Well, The Undertaker could rise from the dead, couldn't he? So that was always... Didn't he rise from the dead that one time or something?
He did, actually. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Paul and his manager, Paul Bearer, which I always thought was a good name.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good name.
It's a good name, isn't it? Yeah. We had all sorts going on. I remember when Macho Man Randy Savage proposed to Elizabeth, will you marry me? I remember it all.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of the wrestling, but I remember
a lot of the drama around it. It was the many days. It was a bit like The Only Way is Essex, wasn't it? But we were wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean Gold says, in Kentucky, there are more barrels of bourbon. Bourbon's the biscuit.
Bourbon's the biscuit,
I think I always get that wrong. I do as well.
I have to ask myself. No, it's nothing to do with that.
Is it not?
In our world, the biscuit's more common than the American mash, or whiskey, or whatever. Yeah. Not whiskey, is it? It's bourbon.
Barrels of bourbon than there are people.
Wow. Where's that?
That's in Kentucky.
Oh, is that really? Well, there you go. That's somebody's overordered there, haven't they?
I'd say so, yeah.
They're never going to sell all that, are they?
No. Not, even if everyone buys one, there's still loads left over.
I mean, they'll have to... Yeah. No, unless... Is it that state, sort of temperance movement, and they're like, well, don't want it here, mate. Not drinking that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what the reason is. That's a lot, though. Good fact. We like that one. John Cole says, Jason, did you know that there's a tree in Pakistan which is under arrest and has been chained up for 100 years?
Really? What did it do?
I don't know, but I love it. It says in Peshawar in 1899, British officer James Squid, real name, got drunk and thought... Yes, and thought a tree was trying to get away from him. To teach it a lesson, he arrested it, and the chains have remained in place ever since.
Wow.
I've arrested you.
I think he'd had one too many gin and tonics, hadn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
Did he work for Special Branch?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Little dad joke for you there.
Yeah.
Gary says, did you know it takes sloth up to a month to digest a single leaf?
A month. The more I learn about sloths, the less. I never learned anything about like a. If you never, it's always been they have to come down out of a tree to have a poo. They can't do this. They can't do that. It takes a month to digest. You never said, do you know a sloth can do a Rubik's cube in 5 seconds?
Yeah.
There's nothing positive about the sloth, is there? There's no positive facts.
When sloths are on the floor rather than a tree, they move around by forward rolls.
I mean, that's
what we want. We want stuff like that, don't we?
Yeah, just
mad ones like that. But I feel like we could do a whole show on sloth facts. They do come up a lot.
Sloths and Lego. There's ebbs sloth and flows, and doesn't
octopus.
It?
Octopus, they come up a lot as well. We love an octopus. Rob Hughes says, in the old mine workings at Alderley Edge, flies go underground every year to hibernate. A fungus slowly envelops them while they sleep and ultimately reprograms their brain. In the spring, the flies emerge and automatically fly to the top of the tallest tree around, whereupon the fly dies and the fungal spores are released into the air. Fungus 1, flies 0.
Nature's weird, isn't it?
Nature is mad. That can't be the...
weird.
How's nature worked that out?
Isn't there something else like that, like a thing that gets inside a bee's head and sort of sends it mental or something? All that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you don't know what's going on in a. Flies are annoying, aren't they? But you don't know what's going on in their life. That could be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not. Who are we to judge?
Yeah, you see a fly and you go, oh, I'm trying to have a picnic. And he's there going, mate, I've got fungus in my brain. And you're like, it's just. He's trying to swat him away and stuff.
Maybe.
Puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Maybe we've misjudged the fly.
No, I don't think we have.
Do you think I want to eat this?
Yeah.
It's a fungus in my brain.
I don't want to eat it. Fungus is telling me. I don't want to go. I know you're having a picnic, mate. I want to go on my merry way and just leave you alone. But can't. Got fungus in my brain.
You think I'm a normal... Do you think it's normal to hang around toilets? Do you?
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here, mate. I don't want this life anymore. It's awful, isn't it? When you...
Oh, I've never thought about that. Poor flies. No.
Well, just bear that in mind now. Not wasps, though. Wasps are idiots.
No, they're horrible. They're horrible. Stuart Thomas says, Bill Lear, founder and CEO of the Learjet Company, and incidentally, the inventor of the 8-track tape player. Well, he threw that one in out of nowhere.
That's weird. He's done those two things.
Actually, really, honestly, truly named his daughter Shanda.
Chandelier.
Chandelier.
Wow.
It's a good name.
I mean, he did... He doesn't, well, why would you though? That's, I mean,
why would you? She's got to live with that.
It's not a name. Shanda's not a name.
No, that's just, true, yeah. And also, every time you say it, people go, Shanda. Oh. Like, yeah. That's going to happen every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've not done well there. They've not done well at all. And we've got one here from Amelia, who's age 10, Steve.
Okay. Go. Doesn't mean anything.
Means nothing
to us,
Amelia.
You'll be judged on the quality of your facts alone.
Yeah, yeah, we don't take age into consideration.
Yeah.
Amelia says, did you know that the animal tardigrade is half a... That's what it's called, tardigrade. This has come from a 10-year-old.
No, I'm not having this. No. What's it? There's an animal called a tardigrade, is there?
Yeah, it's half a millimetre long.
Half a millimetre long.
It can go without water for 10 years and without food for 30 years. Well, I'm not surprised at half a millimetre.
Yeah, I mean,
it's have a drop, doesn't it? It's going, oh, gosh. That's me done. Yeah.
What is it? Is it like a little, is it one of those like sea things? You know, you get those little kits for kids. Is it one of those things? Is that a tardigrade?
I don't know what it is. Sounds
sea
weird, though, isn't it?
Or whatever they're called. I never.
But I presume you can only see it through a microscope anyway.
Well, you'd just about. It looked like a flea, wouldn't it?
There's loads of them.
A flea, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Parsley Money. That's another great name. Parsley Money.
Parsley Money. That can't be a real name.
That can't be a real name, can it? Potholes are so called because when the Romans made roads, they used clay for the surface. People used to nick the clay and make pots with it.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is true. That's very good, isn't it? That's why the. I mean, I've never known when they were called potholes.
Yeah. Well, it must be true because it's on our show.
Yeah, it's been checked by BBC Bite Size.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's. Ooh, I mean, that's very strong. That's good. I live there's a lot of potholes. I can throw that around like a pot. I can throw it like a pot. That fast.
And so you should. So you should. That's a good one. I like the ones you can slip into a conversation.
That's very good.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. One more fact, Steve, and then I'll rattle through all the ones we've had, and then we'll pick a winner. David Bamber says, Yorkies used to be in army ration packs with not for civvies printed on the packet.
Oh, is this where they got their not for girls or whatever it
was? Yeah, because we were talking about that, weren't we? The not
yeah,
for
we
girls.
Yeah. Oh, is that where it come from?
Maybe that's where it
somebody
came from.
Somebody just... Hang on, what's that? Oh, no, we used to put... So you couldn't have one if you weren't... So originally, you couldn't have one unless you were serving.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a conchie or whatever. Not for conchies.
There you go.
And then you know, when there was no war on, they went, who else are we going to...
Who else can we pick on? Yeah, I know, women. Yeah, exactly. Right, let's rattle through the best facts for this week and we'll pick a winner. So we've got some good ones, though, haven't we, Steve?
Yeah, we have got some good ones. I think we've got a winner already, I think.
Strong week. Mules can't reproduce because of their odd number of chromosomes. A mule is a horse and a donkey together. Can't choose who you fall in love with, guys. We're not judging. Abraham Lincoln was an elite wrestling champion. That was a good one.
I think we made it better with the hat thing, but yeah.
There are more barrels of bourbon. Bourbon, I've done it again. Bourbon. Bourbon. Just a barrel of biscuits. That's all I can... Keep thinking about biscuit barrel. Then there are people in Kentucky. There's a tree that's under arrest in Pakistan, according to John. Sloths take up to a month to digest a single leaf. There's a fly that gets a fungus in its brain, according to Rob Hughes, that lives in a mine and flies to the top of a tree. Awful. Bill Lear named his daughter Shanda.
Chandelier, yeah.
Amelia told us about the tardigrade. That's only a millimetre long. Parsley told us about potholes, the so-called, because in the Roman times people used to nick the clay and make pots with them, and Yorkies used to be in army rations with not for civvies on them. Steve, have you got a favourite?
Potholes.
I knew you were going to go potholes.
It has to be, doesn't it? I mean, that, you can throw that around. That's a great fact.
That is
half
one, that.
True, but yeah, we'll
I love it. Yeah, I'm into it.
Straight. We're not. We don't judge it. We just judge it. We don't verify it. Really.
Well, so. Parsley Money, if that is your name,
can't be. Can't absolutely be. Cannot
absolutely
be.
Absolutely not.
Who's put a load of letters together and gone? Oh, look, I've made this one.
Yeah, it's someone who's won before trying to get in and thought to themselves. They've just looked around their house. And gone, they're sat in the kitchen going, right, what's my name?
What's on the side?
Parsley.
There? Parsley Money. That sounds like a real name. Parsley Money. They'll never guess my pseudonym. They'll think that's well a real name. You're like, Parsley Money. I mean, apologies if Parsley Money is not. He's a real person. Yeah. That's
and we find out now that it's actually a really deeply traditional name in a certain country and that we're going to get cancelled.
We offended
a billion people in China.
Sorry, Parsley. Sorry.
So a prize winging its way to you. So if you want to play next week, all you got to do is email me jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. And thanks for listening along this week. Steve, have you got anything planned? Got a busy one?
Just finishing the shed. Finishing the shed. Weekend, go into Butlins again.
Well, we can't wait to hear all about the Butlins, mm-hmm. Butlins trip. What have I got this week? Pretty easy week, actually, but just writing. But I'm doing the Comedy Store in London on Wednesday with Paul Merton and his wife Suki. It's their, they do like I can't even think of the word. What's the word? Not ad-libbing.
Improvisation?
Improvise, there you go. That's not a good start, is it? Yeah, can't actually remember the word improvise.
What's it called?
Doing that on Wednesday night. So if you're in London and you fancy a bit of a chuckle, come along. I've never done it before, so we'll see how that goes. And you can also catch Have I Got News For You, which I hosted this week on the BBC iPlayer. Have a lovely Sunday. Enjoy the nice weather if it's nice near you. And we'll see you next week here on Absolute Radio.
Music matters.